Hello, this is Pastor Mark Needler from Bethel Baptist Church here in Northport, Florida. We are glad to make available to you the recordings from our special meetings, Meetings for Revival and Evangelism with Evangelist Mike Pelletier and his musician evangelist, Greg Murray. The Lord used them in our midst. We saw a number of folks saved and a lot of decisions made for the Lord. So we hope these recordings are a blessing to you as well.
Let's take our Bibles and let's stand together, please. And I'd like us to turn in the Bible tonight to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, actually 2 Chronicles chapter 7 as our text. Second Chronicles chapter 7, and I'd like us to look at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy what? Prayer. And with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask for you to use the Word of God in our midst tonight and pray, Lord, that you meet the need. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, in this passage, Solomon had just dedicated the temple in chapter 6 after building the temple. Then they had a feast celebrating what God had accomplished in allowing them to build and complete the temple. And afterwards, he sent everybody home. After that, Solomon went home. And when Solomon went home, he went to sleep. And then God appeared to him in the night while he was in sleep and gave him a vision. And God said, Solomon, I have heard thy prayer. And then he went on to say, if I ever shut up the heaven, and I judge the nation of Israel, and if I ever send pestilences in, and I don't send rain, and I send famine, and all of this because of sin, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now, we're familiar with that verse, if my people. But we don't always realize the background is very significant. Now, in this, we can understand that revival is a possibility and what revival really is, because we have this promise, I have heard thy prayer. Now, most of us look at, well, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, that's where we learn everything about revival. Really, what we need to do is look at the prayer that Solomon prayed on revival. That's where we learn about revival. So since this is a revival meeting and need is revival, let's look at revival. That's a good idea. And so let's look at, first of all, what is a revival or the presentation of it? All right, it is when a man's relationship with God comes to life again. Now, sometimes our relationship with God gets a little bit dry or distant. And revival is when it gets refreshed, renewed, restored to full life. Now, you find there are two parts to it. One, man has to turn to God. And two, God has to turn to man. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So man seeks God's face. So that's the first part. Now, why does man seek God? It's because he realizes that he needs God to do something in his life that he can't do. Now, are there lots of things that we need God to do that we can't do? Would you agree? Yes, and that would be ministry things, that would be personal needs, that would be wisdom, that would be effective soul winning, and there are a number of things that we cannot do that we need God to do. So it might be we know that we're living in sin and we're going to get judged for it, so we don't want the judgment of God, and so we get serious about a relationship with God again and humble ourselves in front of Him. Now, whatever the reason is, it starts with man drawing nigh to God, and then God will draw nigh to him. So the first thing that has to happen is man has to draw nigh to God. That's the first part. But if we decide that we want a deeper relationship with God than we presently have, we not only have to draw nigh to God, but God has to turn back to draw nigh to us. Now, here's why I bring that up. There are reasons sometimes when we seek God and we don't find him. Now, why would it be that we might seek God and not find him? Doesn't God say, if you seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart? Yes. But he also puts in Scripture some qualifiers. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin will keep God from turning to hear our prayer. And God will not turn to us if we've got sin in our lives. There's another scripture, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Isaiah 59:2. Now, if you sense that you're distant from God, or you're not as close to God as you once were, you need to ask yourself, is it because when you pray, you're not praying with a pure heart? Is it because you've got some secret sin? You know what sins are? Anytime God says don't, and we do. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery. But also we need to understand sin is anytime God says do, and we don't. Now there are a lot of people, and there could be some of you here tonight, that you cannot think of very many things that you're doing that God said don't. Now let's start there though. Maybe you can. And you could say, well, I'm just drying up. Well, I'm just losing my interest. Well, you better check up to see if maybe you're losing your interest because God is withdrawing himself from you because you're willfully in sin. Now you know that when you walk with God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Now let me ask you something. Is there anything that a person's going to get from beer to make him happy that would be better than the joy that God would give him? Is there anything from porn that would satisfy a man more than what Jesus could do with the Holy Spirit? And I don't mean to be crude, but there are so many people that are pursuing inferior happiness. And it is because they seek this, because they want happiness, they go after some sin, and the fact is you're not going to be happy in that sin. The only way to get real love, real joy, and real peace is you better get your relationship fixed with God. I led a lady to the Lord, and when she got saved, she said, Mike, I've got peace. I led a woman to the Lord not long ago, and when she was done praying, in Jesus' name, amen, she says, in Jesus' name, amen, and I want you to know I feel better right now than I've ever felt my whole life. And when people get right with God, they get joy. Now, you could be somebody who is not right with God, and you need to get right with God, because you can never have that joy from God when you're in sin. So get right with him for your sake. Now, sin is anytime God says don't, we do, but don't forget this. Sin is anytime God says do, and we don't. Now, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Now, I don't know, but I wonder if there might be somebody here that you know that God is telling you. You need to be, and you don't like this, and a lot of people don't like this, and maybe I don't like it when somebody's beating me up a little bit, but be honest. Some of you may have actually said, well, I know that the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I know that the Bible says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And I know the Bible says that we should be sharing our faith, but I'm not going to do it. All right, anytime God says do and you don't, you're sinning. And somebody says, well, I'm not going to go to Sunday night or Wednesday night. God says, forsake not the gathering yourselves as the manner of some is. But so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I don't know what it might be, but I'm simply saying you are not going to experience God anytime you're sinning. Now, your iniquities separate you from God that he will not hear. It's not his death. He chooses to not hear. So, Man has to turn to God, but God has to see something that satisfies him in us. So he really will turn to us. Now, sometimes we don't have the relationship with God because we are in sin or we're turning to other gods. It says in Deuteronomy 31:18, I will hide my face in that day, for they are turned to other gods. And when it becomes Jehovah football on a Sunday instead of Jehovah Jireh, that interests us. When it becomes our God is leisure instead of our God is Jehovah, our God is comfort or us and what we want, then God says he will not hear. Now, when we meet the conditions for revival, we get to experience it. But what really is it? It's man turning to God, then God turns back to man. Now, this is in that prayer. Turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. God says, I have heard thy prayer. This is where we learn what revival is. Now, the prayer begins in verse 12, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high, and he set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, and he begins his prayer in verse 14, O Lord God, and he prays all the way through the end of the chapter. Now notice the two parts that I mentioned, man turning to God, and then the God turning to man part, verse 19. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant, man turning to God, the prayer, and to his supplication. But notice that God turning to man. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer. Now, how many of you have ever noticed we can pray and God is not seeming to be hearing? Okay, that's what we're talking about. Now, then it's all through the prayer. Verse 21, hearken, that's God turning to man, unto their supplication, that's man turning to God. Verse 24, if thy people Israel be put to the worse before their enemy because they have sinned and shall return, that's man turning to God and confessing thy name and pray and make supplication. Verse 25, then hear thou from the heaven and forgive. Now here's my question. It's all the way through the chapter, do you need to turn back to God? Have you kind of turned away from him for a little bit? Do you need to consciously pursue this thing? And you sense there's a distance between you and God. Well, a good place to start is ask yourself, well, am I pursuing God? And if you're not pursuing God, you're not going to find him. So we really could call a revival a reconciliation meeting. Now, how many remember last year at the end of the meeting, everybody was just like pumped and revived? And then we were ready to take the whole world on and say, we saw 5 people saved. We saw 4 get assurance. We're ready to go. But in time, things can die off. I just preached at the Christian school today where pastor also teaches a couple times every day. And I preached in the chapel, and we had a wonderful chapel, but here's what we discovered. They just had a great revival meeting with evangelist Dave Young. Teens were pumped. They're still pumped, but they're not where they were pumped. And we'll have a tendency, if we're not careful, to kind of slowly cool off, and we need to get that hot fire back again. And if you've cooled off a little bit since last year, it's time for you to pursue a God again. Amen? Now, number one, what is a revival? It's basically a reconciliation meeting. Now, the second thing I want to look at is the possibility of a revival. Now, is it possible that we really could have our relationship with God to come to full life? It tells us in the prayer, who can have a revival? And the reason I bring this up is if we don't believe that we can have something more than we have, then we're not going to pursue it. Now notice who can have a revival. First of all, it is one person can have it all by himself if he'll seek God. Or the whole church can have it if they'll all seek God. And it's even true that a whole nation can have it if the whole nation would seek God. And a lot of people say, well, it's not possible for a nation. I'm just going by the prayer. It's possible. Now notice what God says in verse 29. Then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel? At least it was possible for the entire nation of Israel. Or it was possible for only one individual in Israel if that one would seek it. Now what that tells me is I don't have to wait on the other Christians in my church to have a revival. I can have it myself if I pursue it. I don't have to wait on my wife to get excited about it, or my husband or my parents. I can, if I pursue it, I can have it. Now secondly, I want you to notice that it's also for Jews and for Gentiles. Now, some people think the revival in this passage is just for the Jews. And so we're claiming promises that are not meant for us to be claiming. All right, look at verse 32. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but has come from a far country, for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger called to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name. Now, is America a pretty far away country from Israel? And so what that points out to me is that America can have a revival, but basically it's not just America, but it's Gentiles. Now, it says strangers. Now, if we're not Jews, then we're Gentiles, and that means that we can have a revival. Now, it's for one, it's for all, it's for Jews, it's for Gentiles, and I also want us to believe what the Bible teaches, because if we don't believe that we can have one, then we're not going to do what's necessary to have one. If we don't know why we want one, then we're not going to do what's necessary to have one. So we're looking right now at can we have one? Then we'll look at why we want one, okay? Now, the first thing, what is it? It's when our relationship with God comes to life again. The second thing, who can have a revival? You can have one. I can have one. And we don't have to wait on any other Christian to have one. We can have one. It's for one, all, Jew, Gentile. But somebody might say, well, you're claiming a promise that was given 2,000-3,000 years ago, and it wasn't intended for us to have today in 2015. Let's be encouraged. It's intended for us. Let me prove it to you. All right, now let's look at verse 34. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, notice the pronouns, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. Now, why do I emphasize those pronouns? If I was a king and I was talking about my people, I would be saying, if my people, if we maintain our cause. So why is he as a king saying, if thy people, if they will pray toward the house which I've built, maintain their cause? He is talking about future generations. You follow me? So he's talking about any generation in the future. That's what he's talking about. Now, I know that a lot of us think that we already know everything about revival, and a lot of people, their conclusion is, we can't have one. I remember going out to eat with a very godly man, and he honestly, I mean it, I believe it, I'm sincere when I say this, he knows more Bible in his pinky than I know in my whole body. And so I sit down with him to learn from him, and I said, brother, Do you think it's ever possible that the United States of America could ever have a revival? And he said, it's impossible. I said, why is it impossible? And he said, because once a nation goes into apostasy, it can't come out of it. God writes them off. They're done. Oh. And then I began to think about it after we talked. And I considered the nation of Israel, and I saw the nation of Israel went into apostasy. They worshiped idols, and they came what? Out of it. And they did it over and over and over. And here's the thing. Even if we're a small group, even if the country just totally rejects everything about us or God, it's still possible. It's still possible. Now, first, it's for one, it's for all, it's for Jew, it's for Gentile, and you don't have to wait on anybody else. If you sense that you're distant from God and you recognize, I want a relationship with God to be better than what it is, it can be. It's a promise. Because God said, Solomon, I have heard thy prayer. Whatever you pray, yes. And that means we can have a reviving. Now, do any of you ever experience times when you feel like you need to get something going with God? It's just a little bit not what it used to be. Anybody ever have that time in your life? And you'll find if you will meet the conditions, and I'll find if I will meet the conditions, if we find that we will meet the conditions, we will have a reviving in our walk with God. Now, the third thing I want us to look at is the prophet of a revival. Now, why do we want a revival? Now, let's look back at that familiar passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I want you to look at that familiar verse, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, this is a verse that we use so often that sometimes the only thing that we use it for is to get this feeling, revival. Yes, if my people which are called by my name humble themselves, revival, yes. But we really don't stop and even think about what he promises here. If we will, then he will. And that, first of all, points out it's a very conditional thing. And if we meet the conditions, God says we'll experience it. Now, what does he say can be experienced? Then he says, will I hear from heaven? Now, here's one of the things that we benefit from if we have a close relationship with God. He hears our prayers. Now, how many of you have ever had some answers to prayer before? Pretty exciting. And I'm not saying that you have never had answers to prayer. I've never had them. But I think what we're experiencing is, as we often sing, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Now, when I look at the answers to prayer that I've had, I've been very, very impressed with the power of God. I remember being at a high school. I remember being at a teen camp for some teens. Probably 5-6 years ago now, maybe 7 years, I can't quite recall. And as I'm at that, there were 12 young men that wanted to get saved. And I can remember at the invitation time, they'd all raised their hand wanting to be saved, and all of a sudden it began to rain so much that nobody could even hear me over the amplification. And I remember thinking, God, there are 12 young people that need to be saved and they can't hear me in the amplification even. And I raised my hand then in front of all these people, 200 plus in the auditorium. My wife was there, my daughters were there, Greg was there, Heather was there. And I raised my hand in the air and I said, God, stop the rain! Then I thought, what have you done? You just put God on the spot in front of 200 people. But then I thought for a minute, is this a need or is this a want? And I was reminded, it's a need. 12 people needing to get saved is pretty important. Right? So, it couldn't get saved without that rain stopping. For one reason, they couldn't hear me. Two, they'd have to leave the building, go to the cafeteria, which is about 2 football fields away, and nobody would want to walk through that downpour of rain. So the second time, realizing that God is able, this is a need, not a want, I raised my hand the second time and said, God, stop the rain. And as soon as I prayed it, that second time, the way that I recall it, in 5 seconds, it came to a complete stop. Now, when that happened, there was like this hush in that room. And 12 young men walked down that aisle to the back, and they went into the cafeteria, and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, I went back. And when I went back a couple years later, a young man walked up to me, and he said, Brother Pelletier, do you remember when you prayed and God stopped the rain? I said, how could I forget? He said, I was one of those 12 boys who got saved that night. I said, wonderful. He said, do you know why I got saved? He said, when I saw God stop the rain, I figured there was something to God. Now, I've seen that God can do big things. Brother, I was on my way to a mission trip to Haiti, as a matter of fact. And we were planning to go to Haiti, and on that trip, I did not have the money for the trip, and it was going to be $850. But my wife and I prayed about it, and we both felt God wanted us to go, and we don't typically do this, but I put it on my home equity loan, $850, trusting God to take care of it later. And so, the week before the meeting, I didn't have any money toward it, and then a young man walks up to me, and he says, Brother Pelletier, you've been a blessing. And he shook my hand. And when I pulled it back, there was a $50 bill. A teenager. So, if you young people like my preaching, I expect a $50 bill after. So anyway, he shook my hand, pulled back, there was a $50 bill. I said, praise God, I use it for my mission trip. A little bit later, another man walked up and he handed me a little bit. I said, thank you, brother, praise God, I'll use it for my mission trip. And do you know that before that meeting was done, I was getting ready to leave the next day, a man walked up to me and he handed me a check, a substantial check, and it brought it up to $750 the day before I was going to leave. So I'm actually in the airport and I'm thanking God. I said, God, I needed $850. You gave me $750. You did it again. And I said, God, I can take care of the other $100 when I get home. And I'm actually thinking about this. And all of a sudden in the airport, Miami airport, I hear, man of God! Man of God! In the airport. Now I am thinking, I am a preacher, but I am not Moses. And this voice gets a little closer. Man of God! Man of God! And it's getting closer. So, almost sheepishly, I turn around. I don't want to turn around and go, here I am. So almost sheepishly, I turn around. And this guy sees me. He goes, man of God. And he walks up and he shakes my hand deliberately, pulls himself back and walks away. And I look in my hand, there's a $100 bill. That happened. Now there is some background. The background is, about a half hour, 45 minutes earlier, I was in the airport, I saw this man, and he had these features, and I said, sir, you wouldn't happen to be from Haiti, would you? He said, no, I'm from Nigeria. I said, oh, I thought maybe you were from Haiti, and he was a foreigner. He said, why do you ask? I said, well, I'm going to Haiti, and wondered if you were from Haiti. He said, why are you going? And all I said was, for ministry. He said, God bless you, brother. And that was the whole extent of our conversation. And then a half hour later, 45 minutes later, man of God! Now, first of all, who do you think laid on his heart to give me a $100 bill? Secondly, who do you think directed him in Miami Airport to find me? And what I am saying is, I've seen God answer some prayers, and it's pretty exciting. But I also acknowledge something. I am seeing some answers to prayer. You are seeing some answers to prayer. And we all can praise God for those answers to prayer. But it's mercy drops when we could be seeing showers. Now, here's a good illustration of this. All of us have admired George Miller, and we've heard about him. He prayed in over $7 million for his orphanages 100 years ago. And it's not just about money, it's about other things. But George Miller, $7 million. He was the fella that had 50,000 dated answers to prayer in his books. Now, I did a little bit of thinking. If you take 50,000 divided by 50 years of ministry, you know what you come up with? 1,000 answers to prayer every year, so dynamic he could write them down. Then, you do a little more math, and you divide 1,000 by 356 days a year. 356 days. No, 365 days. Now, what do you come up with? You come with approximately 3 answers to prayer every day. Every day. Now, think of it. Isn't that different? Now, what we're experiencing is a wonderful thing, but I think what we're experiencing is so small compared to what we could be experiencing. And I really think it's tied to we're not praying or we're not believing. I definitely believe it's tied to the fact that our relationship with God is not strong like it could be. And so we need to pursue this thing. God says, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. So, first, God will hear our prayers. Number two, what does God say He'll do? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will what? Forgive their sins. Now, here's the facts. God is a sin-judging God. And either we get forgiveness for our sins or we get judgment for our sins. And sometimes the judgment is on a personal scale. An individual doesn't get salvation from sin, he gets judgment in hell forever. A Christian doesn't get right with God, he doesn't go to hell, but he gets chastisement. God chastens whom he loves. And that could take a number of forms. But it's also true on a national scale. And I think that we're seeing God judging our nation. And we either get forgiveness or we get judgment. And it all depends on if we have revival in our lives. So number one, the prophet of revival, God hears our prayers. Number two, He forgives our sin. And don't forget this. And don't doubt it. He says, and I'll heal your what? Land. Now, this might shock you a little bit to have an evangelist say this, but this is what I found. I've looked through the Bible and I found 16 references where the word revive or reviving or revived comes up. And guess what? 16 out of 16 are tied to something physical. 16 out of 16. What do you mean? All right, it talks about Samson went out and he fought the Philistines. He got weak and he was tired. And so God told him, pick up a jawbone of a donkey. And he did. And what was in that jawbone? Water. It says Samson took a drink and he revived. Now, did Samson get right with God? No. It means he physically got refreshed. That's all it means. It's sort of like Dunkin' Donuts. When you get a coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, you get refreshed. I think Dunkin' Donuts can be a revival, don't you? Now, anyway, it was tied to something physical. Now, then you have the illustration, will these walls be revived? And that was in Nehemiah, Sanballat and Tobiah mocking the walls. But it was not a spiritual revival. It was the physical walls being rebuilt. Psalms 85 and verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice? You know what that's talking about? That's talking about the nation of Israel getting to go back and be a nation again when they were in captivity or when they were weak. And it's been tied to the land every time. In fact, in Romans 14, it says Christ both died, was buried, arose, and revived. Now, when Jesus revived, did he get right with God? No, he was already sinless. What it means is he physically came back to life again. And it's just an illustration. When 16 out of 16 are tied to the land or tied to something physical, I think that often, not always, But the physical condition of a people is a direct result of their spiritual condition. And I think that as we've gotten away from God, we've seen our country decline. So, we need a revival, because if we don't get revival, we will get judgment. There used to be a sign where we saw in a revival meeting, revival for survival. And I used to think, boy, that's a pretty good sign. But you know what? I don't think it's a pretty good motto anymore. I think it's reality. If we do not see a revival in our country, we may not see our survival. Now, I'm talking about revival, and let's wrap it up. I want you to turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now, we're only here for 3 days, but do you have to have a revival just during the revival week, yes or no? Okay. Can you get some ideas from a week of revival that kind of help you to live in revival? Absolutely. And so we're not so concerned about what happens this week. My desire is to come this week and encourage the brethren. Build us. Get her thinking back. Just thinking straight. As one man said, get rid of the stinking thinking and get right thinking. Stinking thinking is, I'm not going to overdo this thing. Christianity is good, but let's not be weird about it. All right? People are going to hell. Christ died on the cross for my sins. He saved me from going to hell. And time's running out because Jesus is coming soon. And if they don't hear the gospel, they're in big trouble. You call that overdoing it? Now, Bible's good, but let's not overdo it. That's wrong thinking. Bible thinking is, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Bible thinking is, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. Bible thinking, not slothful in business, the business of the church. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And this half-heartedness is a result of wrong thinking. Now, so what happens to have a revival, not just during this week, but to keep it going in your life? Let's look at the path to revival. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. What's the very first word of 2 Chronicles 7, 14? It is if. Now, what's that point out? That points out it's conditional. And that means we've got something to do with it. Now, if I sense my heart's getting cold, I can do something about it. If you sense your heart's getting cold, you can do something about it. Somebody says, well, God's determined who He was going to revive, when He was going to revive, who He was going to save before the earth was ever formed. That might be some theology, but it's not bibliology. And here's what the Bible teaches. If we will, then He will. Listen, if we won't, then He won't. Now, here's the first thing He says. If we will humble ourselves. Now, here is a good illustration of not being humble. When a little kid is told, don't do that, and the little kid goes, I'll do it if I want. Now, when a 4-year-old says, if I do it, I'll do it if I want, to daddy, bad move. Okay, but why does he say, I'll do it if I want? He's got a little bit of pride. And I think one of the ways that we can see if we've got a little bit of pride is if you and I know that what we're doing, God said don't, and we're doing it anyway. I'll do it if I want. You'll never experience God that way. Now, as a man, as a young person, as a senior citizen, is your attitude, I'll do it if I want, when God says don't, you'll never experience God. And you can do better without anything than you can without God. All right, number one, humble ourselves. What's the next thing? Pray. Now, the average Christian prays about 3.5 minutes a day, and that's usually, "Dear Jesus, thank you for the food. Amen." But we've got to get into prayer. Now, one of the things, a tangible way you could do that, how many remember those little prayer cards where you write down 10 names of unsaved people? You can write down 10 names of unsaved people, and you can fast one meal a week and spend 30 minutes just praying for those unsaved people. That's a tangible way you could develop your prayer life. But you have to pray or you cannot experience God. You'll never rise, I will never rise, above the level of our praying. We have to pray. So if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, instead of trying to get away from church, seek God and turn from our wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, usually when we're cold, we know it. And so what's the answer? Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. Now, is relationship with God something worth pursuing? And so when we fall away, we usually know it. We've all sensed it. When we fall away, we can do something about it. And we need to. So if we don't know what to do, just pull open that 2 Chronicles 7:14, pull out some other scriptures, just get on your knees, open the book, read it, pray, and in prayer and reading, God will show you what you need to do to revive that heart. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed here tonight, I wonder who would say, "Brother Mike, I personally know that I am on my way to heaven. I have a Bible reason why I know that." Would you slip up your hand if you're sure of that? If not, don't you be embarrassed a bit. All right? Thank you. Is there anyone who would say, "I don't know yet that I'm going to heaven"? You didn't preach on it tonight, but "I don't know that I'm going to heaven, and I'd like to know. I want help. Pray for me." Just slip up that hand. Anybody like that? Okay? If you don't know, of course we can help you and want to. But let me ask you this, as the pianist softly plays, it's not important to compare yourself to another person. You compare yourself to God. But it doesn't hurt to look over your life and see which way your nose is pointed. And do you find yourself going toward God, or do you find yourself kind of walking away from Him? If you're further from God now than you were last time we were here, I'm just encouraging you. The just man falls 7 times, but he riseth up again. And you need to get up and get going again for your sake and for the cause of Christ. There really is too much at stake for any of us to not do our best for the Lord. Now, who here today would say, "Brother Mike, personally, I need a revival. I want one. And I'm going to pursue a relationship with God again and ask Him to warm me, warm my heart." If that's you, would you slip up the hand? "I need a revival. Pray for me." Good, 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 good. Amen. Good. Praise God. Thank you, thank you. Now, part of that is to restore that fellowship, you confess your sin to God, not to man. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. If you need to confess to man, that's applicable in some cases. But I want to ask you, is there anybody who would say, "Brother Mike, there's some sin in my life, and so I acknowledge it while the Lord is speaking to me. I'm going to turn from this which is keeping me from my relationship with God. I want my relationship with God more than I want that sin." If that's you, would you slip up the hand and put it right back down? Amen. That's really a great thing. A great thing. Is there anybody else? "There's something in my life I want God more than I want that. So I, with God's help, I'm going to turn from that because I don't want it to keep me from God." Anybody else? Amen. And I want to encourage you, pray. And one way to start, would be at this invitation, but I also would encourage you, if you need a revival before you go to bed tonight, don't wait till tomorrow morning. Before you go to bed tonight, get on your knee by your bed, and if you need 5 minutes, take it. If you need 30 minutes, take it. But you on your own, in your room, in the privacy of your room, seek God tonight and work this thing through. Now, if you're going to go home and pray about something in your personal life, at least 5 minutes before you go to bed, if God will remind you, if you want me to pray, that'll be special for you. If you don't raise your hand, that's fine too. But just slip up your hand if you want prayer that this thing would begin to gel with you again, your relationship with God. Just if you're going to go home and pray about this and you want prayer along that line. Okay, good. Now, Father, I do pray for a revival in our lives. Help us to realize it doesn't have to be just this week. If we sense ourselves getting away from you next week or next month or 6 months from now, if we look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, back up to the prayer, we can be reminded it's for one, it's for all, it's for Jew, it's for Gentile, it's for any age. That's a promise. And if we will meet the condition, you'll turn back to us as we turn back to you. And hear our prayers again. And that's exciting. Forgive our sins again and heal our land and the situations in our lives. So Lord, help us to know you.
We'd like to thank you for listening today. If the Lord has especially touched your heart, or you've made a decision for Christ, or perhaps you just have some questions you'd like to ask, please go to our website, www.bethelbc.info, and under the main menu, click on the word contact. Again, the website is www.bethelbc.info.